Our Old Testament lesson for this Sunday comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Join me as we read responsibly. Psalm 24 is printed in your bulletins. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
The world and those who dwell therein.
For he has founded it upon the seas.
And established it upon the rivers.
Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord?
And who shall stand in his holy place?
He who has clean hands and a pure heart.
Who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully.
He will receive blessing from the Lord.
And righteousness from the God of his salvation.
Such is the generation of those who seek him.
Who seek the face of the God of Jacob.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors.
That the King of glory may come in.
Who is this King of glory?
The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors.
That the King of glory may come in.
Who is this King of glory?
The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Our epistle for this Sunday comes from the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Christ Jesus, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of Jesus, amen. My friends Chip and Tricia always knew that they wanted to have children. But after 5-7 years of marriage and trying as best they could, they had not been able to produce a child. And then the school at which Chip worked, it turned out, was going to have a couple of foreign exchange students that were coming in. And so Chip and Tricia said, well, they can stay in our house. We have a big house. Now, there's a little bit of humor in this, in that the Chip comes up to about my shoulders, and these two boys were 6'4 and 6'8. But they came into their home, and it was a wonderful thing. But still, they didn't have their own children. And so they thought about it and talked about it and prayed about it and decided, well, maybe we ought to try it another way. So they went ahead and they went through the long applications for adoption. They were chosen and they were waiting for their adoptive child to be born. And as happens so often, she became pregnant, of course. So they got their adopted little girl not long before Tricia gave birth to a little girl. And they figured, it's a good deal. We wanted two anyway. Not a bad deal. And then they found out that the birth mother for their little adopted child was about to have a son. And they said, well, he needs to be with his sister. So they adopted him. Now, totally unplanned, they have a full house. But they are convinced to this day that although they didn't plan it, God most certainly did plan their family. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Mary was a young girl. She was a teenager. She was unmarried. She and Joseph had not planned things to go this way. Like many young couples in the Jewish community at that time, their plans were to wait for a period of time. And then when the time came about, the whole village would have a celebration that would last a week. But that wasn't going to happen. They had a whole different problem now. We do know that because this was God's plan, terminating the pregnancy was certainly never an option. The birth of Jesus would take place. And Mary and Joseph would be Jesus' earthly parents. And you can be assured that all of the kinds of family traditions and celebrations that happen in a good Jewish family happened in the family of Mary and Joseph and Jesus. They followed all the religious ceremonies and rituals. They had their family celebrations. They did all the things that you might do. Religious holidays, journeys were taken. Jesus learned his family vocation from his father and became a carpenter. And boy, when Jesus had a birthday, he and his siblings and everybody else celebrated that birth. On the other hand, the culture in which you and I live, and we as individuals even, are more likely sometimes to leave Jesus out on his birthday, or maybe assign him a lesser role than he had in his family. People remind us, and we've heard it for years, keep Christ in Christmas. How do you do that? Well, a few years ago, that couple sitting in the back row, Fred and Kelly Wiedemann, decided that, you know what, we really ought to put a float in the Dahlonega Christmas Parade. And a bunch of you stepped forward and said, yeah, we ought to do that. And so there it was, the first float from St. Peter Lutheran Church, and the first float focused on Christ, on Jesus in the community Christmas parade. The only float that focused on Christ. And it won first prize. A few years later, we are now, and we had another float in the Christmas parade. This one with a big tree and all these chrismons, signs that point to Christ on it. We didn't win first prize. We got a much better prize. And here's the prize. We weren't the only float focused on Jesus in the parade. How many more? Six? Is that what it was? Or was it less? Somewhere around there, okay? And somebody else won. But that's how you keep Christ in Christmas. You do something small, and it becomes a part of the culture around us. Yet in the planning and the practice of their daily lives, people often consider taking time for worship a sort of, well, an unnecessary expenditure of prime time. Sundays are prime time, aren't they? Sunday mornings are prime time for sports. Going to the lake. Recovering from the night before. It's a prime time. And oftentimes there's not time for Jesus. Christmas worship, Christmas Eve worship, becomes for many the biannual visit to worship. But forgotten is the fact that every Sunday we gather here, and oftentimes on Wednesdays and other days, to celebrate the birth of Christ, to celebrate that He is born again every day with you and me in this place. The power and presence of Jesus in our world today is minimized as people are paralyzed by fear. Fear of wars. Fear of the economy. Fear of conspiracies. Fear of illness. Fear of physical death. Jesus is present every day of our lives to be our life and to remove the fear of death and all of the fears that come along, getting dragged along by that primal fear that has always been a part of the human race. Death. Physical death. The angel told Joseph, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And that's precisely what Mary did. She gave birth to our Savior, Jesus. I'm not so sure we can even begin to imagine the kind of faith and trust that Joseph had in the angel of the Lord when he told him not to divorce her, but to take her as his wife and to face the questions, put up with the ridicule, and go on. Joseph had no fear, it seems like, after the angel had spoken with him. He didn't hesitate. Even though the timeline of their lives had been altered, even though his reputation was in question, and the angel was describing, what, you say? The Holy Spirit's going to be his dad? He did not even hesitate. But he trusted. Our expectations of what God has done really kind of seems to pale in the face of Mary and Joseph and the people of their times. You know, somebody is healed when the doctors say they have no way to heal them, and we go, "Oh boy, that's unusual. Well, I guess God really decided to step in that time." A lousy relationship that looks like it's not going to go anywhere is saved. They stay together. They thrive together. And we go, Must have been a good therapist. And you have these people that can't have children, and all once they get pregnant, and you say, wow, isn't modern medicine wonderful? Well, God is wonderful. It is amazing what He does when we ask for His power and His intervention. There is no fear in St. Paul when he writes to the Romans today. And he introduces his letter by saying that he has been set apart for the gospel of God. There is no fear in his claim, even though we know, and maybe he even knew, shipwreck was going to happen. And he was to be imprisoned. Maybe it already happened, I'd forgotten the timeline. But we know what it cost him to be called, to be set apart for the gospel of God. Mary's pregnancy was not planned by her. It was unplanned, and her engaged husband. But it was totally planned by God. And it was well planned by the God whom Isaiah calls the King of Glory. The Lord, strong and mighty. Yahweh, mighty in battle. The Lord of hosts. Mary's pregnancy is no quirk of fate. It's no random happenstance. It's no solitary incident in history. It is history. It made history. It makes our present as much as any history. We need not fear of anything, because Jesus is Emmanuel. As certain as Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, so is his presence in our daily life today. His presence is assured in the morning sun and the chorus of birds at dawn. Jesus' promise is fulfilled when the Word becomes flesh. And we hear about that Word in the written Word. And we know Jesus is with us. Jesus' presence is promised and fulfilled in the daily drowning of that old Adam that keeps trying to overtake us, but is drowned by the waters of our baptism. Jesus is present as He comes to us today in the bread and the wine of Holy Communion. His very body and blood, His true presence with you and me, again with the forgiveness of sins. Emmanuel means that we live every day in safety, not fear, and that we are never without the gracious, calming presence of Jesus, our brother, our Savior, our Lord, our friend. Having no fear comes from knowing that all things are planned by the King of Glory, the Lord of Hosts. It was very early on the morning of January 26th in 2002 when my wife Cindy, our son Javante, and I and our two dogs jumped into the car somewhere between midnight and 1 a.m. in West Seattle, Washington, and drove down the highway to Corvallis, Oregon. We didn't always get many big snowstorms around there, but we got one this night. So we're whipping down the highway. I'm driving along. My wife from the south, New Orleans, is sitting in the passenger seat. We're all going to die. We're all gonna die. She wasn't that fast. But there was a lot of snow hitting the windshield. But as I looked out through it, you could see that the highway was a little damp, but there was no danger. So I just kind of, well, you know, Levon, I made time. And as we were doing that, she's afraid, and I'm not the least bit afraid. I thought that I'm remembering, how many times has a small child in northern Minnesota, after dark, I was sitting in the back seat of the family Plymouth, with my head in a brother's lap and his head in the middle of my back, sleeping away, quite oblivious to any fear there might be of much, much worse evenings in snow while my father was at the wheel. Children of God, the Lord of hosts is at the wheel. Our God is driving this vehicle. He is leading this world. He is present with us today. We have no reason to fear, for Emmanuel is with us. Amen. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, there are more than enough things for us to be concerned about, to be anxious about, and to fear. We ask that you would remove them all by the presence of your Son, you yourself coming to life among us, present with us every day. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. King of glory, you never abandoned the people you chose as your own, despite their wanderings and their worship of other gods. You have always shown yourself to be strong and mighty, mighty in the battles that your people fight every day. Come to us in this time of Advent and fight with us for the hearts and the spirits of the people we know and those who live in the Dahlonega area. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of hosts, gather your heavenly armies and come to the rescue of your people. As you have armed us with your word and your word made flesh, as you have settled with us as Emmanuel, so lead us to share the story of Jesus with all those in our circle of friends, that they might be added to the hosts of heaven that will gather in anticipation of life forever in your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Emmanuel, we are alone and lost without you. Come to us today. Enlighten our hearts and brighten our spirits, that we might receive you not only on the day that we celebrate your birth, but every day that we are granted the gift of living in your created world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of peace, we are truly a warring people, and throughout our world, families are being torn apart. Homes are destroyed and nations dismantled. We pray for your intervention. May those who desire peace rise up and grant to them the authority to bring about that peace. Give to us, your people, the opportunity and the means and the ability to stop human trafficking wherever it is occurring. Bring genocide and brutality toward the poor and the alien to a stop. Wherever and whenever it is within our ability to bring an end to division and the beginning of peace, grant that we do so. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Healing Savior, we lift our prayers for those among us and those whom we know that are facing the trials of physical and mental diseases. Support and enable the medical personnel who care for them and the caregivers within their families who stand beside them. Grant continued healing and strength to Pastor Rick Carlton, to Jen Scott. We give you thanks, Lord, that Richard's eye surgery went well, and we pray, Lord, that you would continue to grant him healing in that eye. We pray for Deb Towns' brother, who recently had a fall, continues to fight against the cancer that is in him. We pray, Lord, for the healing of Pastor Gary Danke, for Natalie Smith, for Jackie Mixon, for Catherine, and for the Thornhill's niece, Penny Perryman, critically ill with cancer. We pray for Mary Sue's nephew, Joey Hollander, awaiting still the results of the biopsy. Lord, grant him some understanding and the peace of what he can expect. We pray for Peach's sister, Noni, for her brother, Vigil, and her cousin, Skylar. We ask, Lord, that you grant healing to Nathan, the Michael's grandson, to our sister Anne, to Darcy and Hank Granis, to Nancy Kuhlman,
to Chuck Young as he seeks relief from his Bell's palsy, to Helen Brown, and to the Harrison family at the shooting death of their son, Jay, Jace, to Joyce Dooley. We pray, Lord, that you would grant an opportunity for her friends and family to remember her today, to grieve over her, to rejoice at her gift in heaven. We pray, Lord, for Vince and Kim Gordon and ask for strength as they deal with numerous issues. We pray that you would be with Shane Turner and help him to heal following his accident. We thank you for the gift of Mary Sue's new great-granddaughter, Thea. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless both mother and daughter and the whole family. We ask, Lord, that you would be with our brother Jimmy Faulkner as he mourns the death of his wife, Marie. Grant to him the peace that only you can give, and grant the help of his friends to grieve and to celebrate Marie's life. We pray, Lord, that you would be with our brother Craig Brown. We give you thanks that he has this new job, and we pray now, Lord, that he might have great success in it, that he might have opportunity as he travels with that truck to share your love and your joy with others. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We ask, Lord, that you would continue to guide our call committee and the members of St. Peter as we move forward in the process of calling a resident pastor to serve our community. And Lord, as it befits your will, grant that the construction of our new ministry center might move forward steadily. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.